Allison, let's play a little game. I'd like you to guess what our next segment is about.
Tofurkey.
Cold.
Turducken.
Very cold.
French baguettes.
Okay, now you're getting a little warmer.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's not actually about any of those things. Our next question is about what we're engaged in, the game 20 Questions. In the 1970s, America shared nuclear information with the French using a method called negative guidance, which was nicknamed 20 Questions. The reason we're talking about that now is that the New York Times recently wrote about how the United States and its current frenemy, Pakistan, are undergoing something similar. What happens is Pakistan has nuclear weapons. The United States would very much like those nukes to, you know, not explode in the silos. But it has to be very careful about what kind of advice and instruction can be given. So there's this international guessing game where the United States can't really give any advice but can sort of confirm advice. Very weird. Leslie Gelb is the president emeritus and senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's been a Times columnist, but most important to the discussion, he worked in the State Department in the unit that was doing negative guidance with the French. Hi, Les, how are you?
Good morning.
And you worked for the Carter administration, correct?
I did.
So why did this minuet go on? Is it because of treaties didn't allow us just to talk honestly?
Well, it wasn't treaties. It was the Atomic Energy Act, which prescribed exactly what you could do or couldn't do in sharing information and technology with other countries. The act was very forthcoming in terms of doing anything with the British, but very tight on dealing with anyone else, including with a NATO ally like France.
And at this, you were at the State Department at the time.
I was the Assistant Secretary of State for Political and Military Affairs, and I was responsible for this discussion with the French and the program with the French, but it was actually run by the Pentagon.
And was it a classic state Pentagon dispute where the Pentagon really wanted the U.S. to share information and State Department said more like honor the agreements?
Well, I don't know about classic, but there was a dispute.
Yeah.
And the Defense Department wanted to go ahead with the French because they wanted to establish a new level of military cooperation with the French, particularly because the French were stiffing us on cooperating in NATO on conventional force issues. So they figured that if we could help them out a little with their nuclear program, that they might be more forthcoming on the conventional side with us.
So take me inside one of these discussions, if you heard any, or as much as you can, because I know there's national security still at stake to some extent. But would a French nuclear official, get on the line and say, well, will our missiles work at 3 kilometers? And then the U.S. would say nothing and then say, how about 2 kilometers?
There would be issues like that. Look, the basic problem for the French was this.
Yeah.
The Soviets were building a defense system around Moscow. And the French were worried that their missiles wouldn't be able to get through that defense system, and they would lose their deterrent. If Soviets could strike France and Paris, but the French couldn't strike Moscow, the French would be out of business. So they wanted to develop missiles that had a lot of warheads on them. And it would be a costly and long-term process unless we helped them. But by law, we really couldn't help them very much.
Right.
So we got into this game of providing them information while pretending we weren't.
Did they get all the information they would have gotten if we had just given it to them, sat down in the same room?
I think it amounted to the same thing, yes.
Now, it's a little different. It seems to me that it's a little different, at least as reading the Times article about Pakistan, because at least as the Times reported, it seemed part of the issue there was literally securing the nuclear weapons. Pakistan is a young nuclear power, and so we can't even, or at least the stumbling block is to tell them how to secure their weapons so they don't explode or, you know, are fired indiscriminately.
Nobody could fire them without the permission of the president of Pakistan.
Right.
These are kind of electronic locks. And unless the president of Pakistan would press in a certain code, whoever was sitting next to that missile wouldn't be able to fire it. So it's a protection. It's a very important one.
In everyone in the world's interest to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem comes in here. If you give them that kind of know-how, that means they know how we do it. And if they know how we do it, there's a possibility they could interfere in our decision-making process, too.
And there's also a symbolism issue with the United States saying, we really don't want you to develop nukes. I can't believe you've developed nukes. But once they get them, if we just come, okay, now here's all the information we have. Welcome to the club. It does sort of give the wrong message.
Yeah, it does give the wrong message, but we already gave the wrong message. In effect, once India and Pakistan crossed into the nuclear club, we traded with both and rewarded both. And the message to a lot of other countries, including a country like Iran, was, look, the United States will fight you tooth and nail before you acquire nuclear weapons, but once you have them, the United States will deal with you.
Yeah, this is sort of the argument, which is that we make the prize of nuclear weapons so important that it, in fact, spurs some countries to amp up their nuclear program.
Some may view it that way, but I think India and Pakistan had their own reasons for acquiring this capability anyway.
And so from what you know about Pakistan's nuclear program, and given the fact that Pervez Musharraf is, you know, he might be deposed or he might step down, who knows what's going to happen in any number of days, how worried are you about the state of that program?
Well, I'm much more worried than I hear the administration letting on to. Mm-hmm. They're expressing great confidence that right now they think the weapons are secured. I think any time you have a country that's as volatile as that one, you shouldn't be that confident.
Well, you as a diplomat, you know the importance of, you know, sometimes the difference between public pronouncements and private worries. Do you think that's going on here?
I don't know. It's very hard to tell with the Bush administration whether it understands a problem or doesn't.
All right. Leslie Gelb, President Emeritus on the Council of Foreign Relations. He worked in the State Department in the 70s with the unit that was doing negative guidance with France and missiles. Thanks very much, Les.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Headed your way on the Bryant Park Project. Not necessarily a happy Thanksgiving for all those writers who are striking, and not to mention all the support services and people who aren't working because the writers are striking. We have a song of solidarity from Bryant Park Project commentator and editorialist Jill Sobule. Of course, she does it through song. Stick around for that.
And most of the main players in the Mideast peace process are going to be here in the U.S. next week. They're giving themselves a day, a whole day, to get something done. Can they do it? This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.